But you have your Bibles, and this is intentional because I feel led to preach on praising the Lord, and so may this kind of prime our hearts for the inspiration to come, and so kind of get us thinking in the praising mode. But the title of this afternoon's message: Praise Ye the Lord. Praise Ye the Lord. And so let's start in Psalm 34. Of course, that's the theme of this message. And then we'll kind of segue into this inspiration. I thought that would be a wonderful kind of fit that way. And so let's go to Psalm 34 in the scriptures. Psalm 34, the Word of God. Of course, this is King David, God's man for the hour. And notice how the Lord uses him and what he writes to us. Psalm 34, first three verses, and then we'll pray. And the Word of God says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. To which we say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy and a thrill, a privilege to be here, Father. We are so looking forward to hearing from your word. But beyond that, Lord, we're just so looking forward to praising you, just proclaiming how awesome you are, testifying, Lord, of how wonderful you are, and then worshiping you in song. And so, Father, we look forward to this inspiration to come. Thank you for your word, Lord, that as we read in the scriptures, Lord, this entire book of Psalms, Lord, that you are a God that enjoys it when we praise you, that you love it and desire when we sing to you, Lord. And so we look forward to that, Lord. And just let us take to heart the writings of the scriptures, Lord, that we would purpose to bless you and praise you at all times, no matter what. And we love you, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God loves it, of course, when we praise him. May today's message really kind of stir our hearts, get us eager to do the singspiration a little bit here. But may we praise God indeed, as David says here, no matter what. Understand that true praise must be unconditional. True praise to God must be unconditional. In other words, we're not just praising God for the circumstances, which we ought to, but we are praising God for who he is. And God never changes. And so, aren't you glad that God is gracious? He's always gracious. I can always praise him. Aren't you glad God is merciful? That his grace is always sufficient for us. He is, so I can always praise him for who he is. He's my heavenly Father, never leave nor forsake us. I can always praise him regardless of circumstances. And David purposes to do it. Verse 1, I will, no matter what, he wants to do it. Bless God and praise God at all times, not just the good times, but even especially the bad times. And that's one thing, you know, in the testimony of a Christian, I think we shared before, you can have a believer, you can have a non-believer, and both win the Powerball, they're both happy. And you would expect an unbeliever to be happy in those circumstances. But you have a believer and an unbeliever, and they both get diagnosed with cancer. What a joy that the believer, the Christian, is still praising God. And so David purposes here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, I mean, no matter what, shall continually be in my mouth. He's always going to be, gushing with praises to God. And then verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, not his circumstances. God is his strength. God is his high tower. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if I'm put down or not. My faith and hope and joy is in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And yeah, I get it. David was writing to Israel. But truly, this is God writing to us. And so David, really to all believers. Like, hey, come, let's worship the Lord no matter what. Let's praise him no matter what. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, let's do it. That's wonderful. And so regardless of circumstance, we can think of Job. We don't have to turn there. But, in Job 1:21, when Job lost everything, I mean, I can't even imagine going through what Job did. Yet, of course, he worshipped the Lord. He still praised him. We can think of Daniel. Well, let's turn here. We're not too far from Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Of course, this is it kind of reveals to us here when, of course, when the decree came out, hey, no more praying or asking petitions of anyone besides the earthly king. Of course, Daniel could not do that. And so the law said no praying. What did he do? He prayed. So let's go to Daniel chapter 6 and then verse 10. But again, the praying is not just asking or pleading for petitions. It's also praise. Because look at what Daniel, this is what he always does. Just like David, Daniel, even though circumstances, we could say, took a turn for the worse. I mean, obviously it's bad when, you know, when the government says no more praying. But look at what David says. Now when David, Daniel 6 verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed into law, they must have a big press conference about it, but first thing he did, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and what? Gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He wasn't complaining. Now, he doesn't condone it, but there was always something for Daniel to be thankful for. David purposed the same thing. I'm going to praise God no matter what. Continually, his praise will be in my lips, in my mouth. I will praise God always, no matter what. Don't have to turn there, but in Acts, you know, Paul is about to be shipwrecked, okay? And he prays and he thanks God. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, let's turn here. Let's go to John chapter 11. Right before he raises Lazarus, now again, we know what happens and he comes back to life. So that's wonderful. But it truly grieved and it really hurt the Lord Jesus Christ to know that his good friend Lazarus had to suffer and die. I mean, it's still tough, you know. And so even with all that going on, the Lord Jesus Christ thanks the Father for hearing him, even though Lazarus suffered and died. And so let's go to John 11, verse 41. And notice what it says. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth is, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I what? Thank thee. And I think of myself, oh me of little faith, oh me who I am so easily persuaded by circumstances where instead of thanking God, I'm more prone to complaining to God. I'm more prone to being upset or angry at God. But Jesus, knowing that Lazarus was still dead and that he had suffered and died without him, thanks God that the Father has heard me. Are you thankful that God hears us? That's awesome. That is amazing. You know, thank God for prayer. I'm not saying it's an expression, but really we ought to be giving thanks to God that we can pray to him. He hears us. He desires it. That's wonderful. In Matthew 26, verse 27, let's turn there real quick. Jesus thanks the Father. This is during the Lord's Supper as he institutes it. But let's go to Matthew 26, verse 27. Matthew 26, and then verse 27. And he took the cup. Of course, he knows what it pictures is going to be his blood that's going to be shed for mankind. He took the cup and what? Gave thanks. And gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is God's plan from all along. It wasn't that, it won't be that much later when the Lord Jesus Christ would be praying in the garden to, you know, the cup of God's wrath. Let it pass from him. But when it's God's will, he's thankful for it. I mean, this is his blood that is going to picture his shed blood, symbolic only. But Jesus gave thanks. I mean, that is amazing. To always thank God, no matter what. True praise must be unconditional. That we praise God, because he never changes. Yeah, circumstances change, but that's the whole point why we can trust in God. If our circumstances never changed, there's no need for faith. There's no need for me to praise God for his faithfulness in spite of those circumstances, because then I would just live by sight. That's not how what God wants us to live. Christians ought to live by what? By faith. Number two, we should praise God no matter what, of course, because of God, He is sovereign. God does whatever He wants. He decrees whatever circumstances He wants individually for you and I. Let's go to 1 Samuel. This is Hannah, her prayer, her praise. But let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And yes, obviously Hannah is rejoicing because she now has a son. I mean, Hannah's rejoicing because she has a son, Samuel. But it's in the backdrop and the context of God's sovereignty. So watch this here. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's go to verse 1. And so this is her praise. And she says, and it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. God delivered her, okay, from the reproach, meaning now she has a child. And so verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. This is huge, arrogancy. That means I think I'm all that. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Whatever I do is compared against His will. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Ooh, wow. And so God can abase that which is strong. He can exalt that which is abased. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And so the wealthy now become poor. And they that were hungry ceased. I mean, of course, now they're filled. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. There is a theme to what Hannah is saying here. Look at verse 6. The Lord killeth and what? Maketh alive. Two complete opposites. So in other words, Hannah understands in the grand scheme of human affairs that things that happen in real life, things that happen to your friends, your family, your neighbors, you, it's all decreed by God. God does whatever He wants. It doesn't matter if this person is rich, you can do it. No, God can, on a will and a whim, take him out. I mean, that's polar opposites here. And so the idea here is God does what He wants. He was not inclined to give her a son. Yes, she's thankful for Samuel. Correct. But what makes her even that much more thankful is that she knows she doesn't deserve a son. She knows God is not obligated to give her a son. She knows if God had so chose it, up until this point, she was barren because of His will. And the only reason why she got a son is because God chose it. In His sovereignty, God decided it. That is the larger context. We don't deserve any blessings. Be thankful for the blessings that we have. Don't ever think, we must not ever think that I deserved it. I don't. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And if you look at these examples here, David would say we need to praise the Lord at all times, no matter which circumstance it is. I don't just praise the Lord when He maketh me rich. I also need to praise the Lord when He maketh me poor. I don't just praise the Lord when I'm doing well financially, health-wise, whatever. I praise the Lord. Fanny Crosby, yeah, one of my heroes. Yep, what a blessing. Blind, that's okay. I'll still praise God. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, and set them among princes. God can do that. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. And he's our creator, He's our sovereign God. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall He be silent in darkness, for by strength shall what? no man prevail. Strength, talent, money, none of that is the reason for our prosperity. It is only by the grace of God, because He's sovereign. And so when she understands this, and when God was so inclined to, through Eli, to answer her petition for her son, she's like praising God. Wow. Because he really didn't have to, but she gets it. And so the blessings that we have, God didn't have to bless us the way he did. God didn't have to spare us the way he did. We've been praying for Maria. And that's a tough one. I mean, I never met her, but I guess Brother James said he grew up knowing her in Oshkosh and Wildwood. But it's not doing well. Her condition hasn't changed. Her family came in just recently here just to be with her, possibly say goodbye. And so that's a tough thing. Young mom, it's a fourth child, and this happened. But I know the family's praising God no matter what. I had a chance just last week, Wednesday, yes, at the Riverview Bible study, met a wonderful brother in Christ. He's got a very powerful testimony. I hope he shows up again, but, we got to chatting and he was just praising the Lord. It was great to see him, for the first time. And he shared that he got saved, when he was 15, when his 18-year-old brother died from a motorcycle crash, just two blocks away from their home. That was what kind of really shook him up, and then he got saved. Now his mom was already saved, and I think they were attending, Risen Christ, Risen Savior Fellowship. And so that's wonderful. And when his mom heard the sirens, she knew it was her son. And she just knew the Lord spoke to her, and the Lord told her, "This is my will." And she praised him. It's just amazing. We've been praying for, I think, of little Doug, and just such a young soul, but going through a hard time. Why is that? Well, God is sovereign. God doesn't owe us our health. Be thankful for the blessings we have. When you read in Acts, remember Herod killed James with a sword, right? And then after that, he took Peter. God sovereignly intervened to rescue Peter, sent the angel, and then Peter got busted out. I mean, we know that story. But James got martyred. It was God's plan. It was his will. Hannah understood that. So when she got pregnant, she was so thankful because she knew it was not her. It's God. It's all God. The blessings we have, they're all from God. And true praise, like David, should be continual no matter what. But true praise, point number two, needs to be from a thankful heart. And my heart becomes really humble and thankful when I realize in Hannah's prayer here, God wasn't, now, and again, God's just not randomly doing this. He's not pulling the random, all right, let's see, brother so-and-so, pull this, and like, oh, diabetes, you got that, that's your deal. No, God is not randomly just making it up. He sovereignly orchestrates it. That's huge. It is his prerogative as the supreme creator of all reality to do this. He is the judge of all. And so when Hannah can say, oh, Lord, thank you. You didn't have to do this. He really didn't. And so she's so thankful that she had baby Samuel. Plus, by the way, this is kind of bonus. We can't out praise God. We can't out give God. In fact, if you look at how what Hannah did, of course, she follows through and she gives Samuel back to the Lord. If you go to verse 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat." I'm like, I always go, oh, every year she'd bring a little size bigger. "And brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Pretty much once a year she would see her son. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.'" Now he served the Lord his whole life. But it's Lent or alone because Hannah was thinking in eternity. She's thinking forever. And then so she'll see her son in heaven. Okay, so that's eternity focused. And they went on to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. That's amazing. I mean, she couldn't have one. God gave her one, and then she honored her promise. She gave back to the Lord. God blessed her for it, and she got five more kids. I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, we cannot out-thank God. We cannot out-worship, cannot out-praise God. He is worthy of all our praise. And then point number three, true praise is observable, okay? It's observable, okay? Yes, we need to praise God in our heart for it to be sincere. But if we truly, truly praise God from the heart, it's gonna show in some shape or form or tune. It's going to show. Let's go to Psalm 145. Of course, it's Israel's songbook. And so obviously it's a song. But let's go to Psalm 145. Let's start in verse 1. And by the way, the title is David's Psalm of Praise. This is the only psalm that actually officially includes the word praise as part of its title. But may our theme of our life be verse 1. This is David's life theme. May this also be ours. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. And to extol, it means praise, but it means like super praise. Okay, so you're energetically, you're completely, totally praising God, who's our God, creator, also our King and ruler, and will bless thy name forever and ever. And then look at verse 2. This is wonderful because verse 1 is forever and ever. Verse 2 is what? Every day. And so we need both because the overarching theme and purpose of David's life was to praise God. But, you know, operationally or functionally or realistically, how he could do it was every day praise God. And sometimes it's easy for me. I'm kind of a big thinker guy, big picture guy. I focus on verse 1 and I don't do verse 2. If I don't do verse 2, I can't fulfill verse 1. You know what I'm saying? And so, yes, David wanted to praise God forever. And that's a grand, lofty goal, which is good. But how we carry that out is a day-by-day thing, right? So every day, no matter sink or swim, no matter good day or bad day, I will bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Now, this is amazing because it's easy. When I read this, I'm like, okay, David, I get it. You want to praise him? But David says, yeah, but Wing, you don't get it. Because he says, Wing, I want you to worship with me. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to who? Another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I really, really enjoy singspiration. I really, really enjoy just afternoon service, for that matter, because that's when we do the testimony time. And it is amazing because God's faithful ought to declare his praises and mighty works to the next generation. My children are here. They need to hear from Mom and I how God has blessed us. They have other generations, multi-generations. They need to hear. They need to know. I need to declare it. To praise God for his mighty works, mighty acts. That's wonderful. The children need to hear. One generation passes the knowledge of God's works to another through praise and song. Because we got something to sing about. And so they're like, oh, I guess God's real. Yes. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Okay, it's not just David writing it in his journal, which is great, but he's proclaiming it, okay, that it can be observed. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, terrible meaning awesome, okay, this is Old English, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. That's a singspiration right there. Verse 7 is our singspiration. And so we give a praise, you know, and we're declaring to others how God is so amazing, how he blessed us, how, you know, and we praise God. And you know, singspiration is more than just picking our favorite song. It's us deciding to praise and worship God intentionally with with song. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. It's becoming of a Christian to praise God. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men, this is to everyone, every human being, his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. If we are glad that we are saved, if we are glad that we are part of the kingdom of God, we should declare it. We should proclaim it. We should praise God for that. God desires our praise. If you go to verse 21, last verse here, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So David is personally, in his heart, deciding to praise God forever. Of course, he desires to see everyone else do it too, but that's God's desire for all of us, to praise God unconditionally, to thank him truly for the blessings we have, and then be outward and continual in our praise. And so, in fact, the book of Psalms closes. If you look at the next few Psalms, it's all about praise. If you go to verse Psalm 146, go to verse 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. This is a personal praise. David didn't care if he was the only one in church or if the only one on the hill with his sheep. I mean, it doesn't matter if he was in a congregation. He was going to praise God. I want to do it. It's a personal praise. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Praise the Lord with song. Praise the Lord personally, and then praise the Lord with song. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. In fact, it goes all the way down here, earth and the deep, doesn't matter. So the idea is everywhere and everyone, praise God, right? We get the idea. And then verse 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. And so now praising God, it's personal, but it's also congregational. That's wonderful. And then Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. I get it. It's not a Jewish synagogue or temple, but this is the house of God. Praise God. Praise God in his sanctuary, meaning his presence in church. Praise him in the firmament of his power. In all of creation, here we are. Praise God. Church, of course, is not about us. It's about God. Testimony time is not about us hogging the spotlight, but to give glory to God. Singspiration is about us personally, intentionally deciding to praise God with song. That's wonderful. Praise ye the Lord. My pastor would always say, when we read the praise, when we read any Bible verse with a ye, you know, ye means me. And so praise ye the Lord. It's not just, hey, you praise. No, I got to praise. God telling me to praise. Praise we, me, the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. As it touches hearts, Lord, we praise you for your goodness. We praise you, Lord, your greatness. It's unsearchable. It's infinite. And Lord, your sovereignty, we thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for my blessings, Lord. You don't have to bless me with anything. You chose to save my soul, and then you chose to provide for my needs. You even chose to satisfy my wants. Lord, I'm just so spoiled. Lord, help me to truly praise you continually, thankfully, and outwardly, Lord. And Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.